Hi, and welcome to Disability Ireland. In this week's episode, we are talking social media. This episode's a little bit different in that we do not have a guest. It is just my thoughts and analysis on some of the benefits of social media for people with disabilities. So in general, I think social media gets a bit of a hard rap within society and even on social media itself, with the likes of trolling, abuse, and some of the negativities that we see within general conversation on social media. So whilst it can be a great way to unwind by watching your favorite funny cat videos or showing followers what you ate for breakfast, for many people, it is also a lifeline. So many people with disabilities can connect with others with the same disability via social media. They can also use media social media platforms like Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok to keep friends and family up to date with their health status or what they are doing. And they can also advocate for themselves and others with disability to a private and more public audience than prior to social media becoming popular. So Jeanette Perkins, who is an autism advocate and writer, she says social media makes her feel less alone. To quote her, "I say that people live in my phone," she says. "I am in touch with autistic people from all around the world." Facebook especially enables her to connect with people in the autism community, as well as with mental health communities, and create professional networks as well. Jeanette mainly uses social media for autism advocacy. She would regularly post blogs and memes on radio shows and media appearances, as well as other posts on autism. And she also does a lot of individual support work for people. So Jeanette, she would use Facebook and Twitter many times each day. And she also has a presence on Instagram and LinkedIn. So like many people who write about the disability, though, Jeanette writing her reality gives other people permission to share theirs. "I do not talk about my mental health illnesses sometimes for support for me, but often it is intended to help others feel talking about their mental health is okay," Jeanette says. So Jeanette, as we can see, she doesn't use social media to formally research autism, but it allows her to see how other autistic people manage. However, for many people with a disability, social media is a tool for researching treatment. Lisa Cox, for example, who has been affected by an acquired brain injury, says that Facebook is her favourite social media platform, and she uses social media often for research. To quote her, "Because some of my treatments aren't yet common, I've used overseas forums and discussions to research facts and opinions of other patients and professionals." So I guess that's an interesting aspect. Do you yourself use social media as a form of research? And indeed, I would love if any of our listeners were to get in touch and share their experiences, good or bad, from researching illnesses or diseases online. Lee Ansey, who is the communications director at the Mayo Clinic, which is an American nonprofit academic medical center, she also says that social media enables chronically ill and disabled people to connect with others who face similar challenges. These tools break down barriers of time and space, so those who otherwise would be isolated are able to come together. Lee believes also that social media is just as useful as medical practitioners. Being involved and listening in social media gives practitioners insights into patients' experiences outside of the confines of the exam room. And for many practitioners, they take great satisfaction in sharing their own knowledge with patients and consumers online. Talia Golding, who you may know, is a young woman with terminal cancer and runs a popular blog and makes many public and private appearances and has a public and private Facebook page as well as Instagram account. So she would share a lot of information about her illness in great detail which often tackles taboos which aren't necessarily discussed in the wider public arena. And she is currently creating an e-zine, emailable magazine for young people with stoma. So Talia, she's got a large family and her illness often means that she is low on energy and she doesn't want to update people individually. So she has decided to post online once so her family can see it without having the need for her to ring around or message each person individually, which certainly helps with her energy levels. So whilst the majority of Talia's followers have been supportive, she has also encountered a few trolls, which I guess has been very upsetting for her. So despite this, she remains very optimistic and she is an advocate and often praises social media for enabling her to meet some of her best friends. And she knows the power of sharing her story online. As she says, there will always be one person to try and bring you down, but for everyone that is hurting you, there could be many other helping. And it can be discouraging at times thinking you're not talking to anyone, especially if no one is talking back, but that doesn't mean that they are not listening. So that brings us on to an interesting concept of being listened to is so validating for people with disabilities. It can often be isolating, and often other people, probably without a disability, speak for people with disabilities. Social media will allow people with disability to tell their own stories on their own terms, as well as feel connected to a community. Someone, for example, in a small town in Cavan or Leitrim, who might never have met another person with their disability or condition, now has a platform to chat to someone living in a similar impairment or illness in a big city or small town anywhere in the world. And indeed, medical practitioners can connect with other professionals and patients in other cities as well, which increases the benefits of knowledge sharing. Indeed, one of our listeners, John McAfoy, he works in a very rural and isolated centre in the south of Ireland, and he has told me in the past that social media is vital. It's a vital form of valid communication, education, resource, connectivity, and can also provide support, information and connection very quickly. And his current place of employment uses Facebook a lot to inform the community, and also provides an effective medium to advise people of changes. So people with disabilities and medical practitioners can both benefit from social media, but what about patients and medical practitioners interacting with each other more? Patients seem to be already there in using social media, and it comes naturally when you're dealing with a medical concern to go online looking for answers and support. And indeed, we would encourage medical practitioners to join them by providing training and guidelines so they can interact with confidence. So I just want to leave you with some of my thoughts on ways that we can all use social media to benefit us. As we know, there are some very exciting new platforms like TikTok, Snapchat. Obviously, I don't think we can neglect the old guard of Facebook and Twitter to connect with others who have disability, or indeed for a parent of a child with a disability to form some type of mastermind or networking advice group. You can also use your social media platform to update your loved ones, friends, family on your condition as much or as little as you want. And don't forget, social media is there to entertain, so it can also be used as a place to go to relax. So why not share some of your lovely moments of the day on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook? So I will leave you. I would love if any of our listeners were to get in touch and tell us about the way that they use social media and whether it has had a positive impact on your life. So that finishes the podcast for today. So please have a listen and get in touch if you have any thoughts. Bye-bye.